From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. America is obsessed with celebrity pop culture and look to pop stars, actors, and others to abide by and even set our moral standards. Perhaps no one has exemplified the celebrity do-gooder more prominently than the frontman of the Irish rock band U2. Known only as Bono, the legendary lead singer for decades has been the face of charitable giving, especially in African nations. He has launched organizations, led benefit concerts, and been lauded by Time magazine as their person of the year. But now a new book examines the underbelly of Bono's celebrity and what it really represents. Spurred by his Christian beliefs, Bono's evangelical morality is actually quite consistent with neoliberal capitalism, according to religious studies professor Chad Seals. Professor Seals is an associate professor at the University of Texas at Austin. His earlier book was The Secular Spectacle, Performing Religion in a Southern Town. He now joins me to discuss his new book, Religion Around Bono, Evangelical Enchantment and Neoliberal Capitalism. Welcome to the program, Professor Seals.
Thanks, Sonali. I'm glad to be here.
So I thought it would be nice for us to begin our conversation with you reading a short section from your book to frame our conversation so that it gives our audience a sense of what it's like. So I'm wondering if you could begin by reading a little bit from the introduction to the book.
Sure, I'd be glad to. So this book is about the evangelical enchantment of globalization. It is about a way of seeing the world as it is not. It is about the moral promise of economic elites to perpetually reform capitalism, to transcend its politics, its religions, and its economic facts. It is about an offer to solve the world's problems by democratizing capital and privatizing public services, to overcome poverty through microfinance, and make new producers of new products for new consumers and new markets. It is about financial frontiers and the religious determination to conquer them, to hear the sounds of suffering and spread the shouts of good news. It is about a prophet with a band, a poet with a purpose. It is about a man with a message for you, lost in the blur of media images, consumer products, and political reports. For you who want to help but don't know how. For you to tell you that you can by just being yourself, just letting go, just listening and letting it wash over you as you stand in the stream of commerce.
And that is my guest Chad Seals reading from his new book, Religion Around Bono. And the subtitle to the book is Evangelical Enchantment and Neoliberal Capitalism. So I have been a fan of U2 for many years, but I consider myself an atheist. Honestly, I wasn't aware of how Bono's Christian beliefs have motivated his charitable giving. You know, those people who follow U2 know that Bono has done a lot of charitable work. So give us a sense of how his spirituality and or his Christian beliefs have spurred not just his music, but his version of social justice.
Yeah, that's a great place to start. There's a way in which Bono packages this evangelical spirituality such that it's both non-offensive in the sense of it's not being pushed on anybody, offensive in the sense of someone not wanting to hear it. And it's also sort of an open secret. So those that Bono speaks of it as drawing fish in the sand. So the messages are there for those who can see them, hear them, and want to find them. And it's also kind of not there at all for fans that just wouldn't, you know, catch on to the sort of underlying religious themes.
So he has championed a lot of charitable causes. He's had benefit concerts. He's done a lot of work in African nations. Looking, you know, given that, or knowing that he has these Christian beliefs and seeing his work in Africa in particular, is there a line between the broader evangelical movements, American evangelical movements' role in Africa and Bono's? Because there has been quite a destructive role that American evangelical forces and figures have played in various nations in Africa.
Right. It all depends on how you understand so the roles of missionaries and other, particularly American evangelical missionaries around the world. from sort of the insider history, evangelicals are in the front lines of helping people and doing good works. And it's difficult in a sense when you focus on what they do in a kind of moral sense of goodness to critique it. But then if you step back, as many scholars do, and look at the long history of the role of missionary efforts play in sort of colonial exploitation, particularly in Africa, of extracting resources, of promoting economies that really favor Western European and American-based corporations, and then Bono is positioned in that particular history, which is that he comes into Africa not through the long history of Catholic missionary efforts from Ireland and Africa, but through global evangelical missionary efforts that connect him from Ireland, from particularly through Bob Geldof, into Africa. And the main organization that first connects Bono in the 1980s is World Vision, which is a large-scale missionary evangelical organization that for some is doing excellent, amazing, good work, and for others is sort of a source to criticize in terms of its relationship to American empire.
So some would say, all right, even if Bono isn't exactly as critical of, say, neoliberal capitalism as we would like him to be, the fact is that he is working hard and trying to do good, and that his contribution is better than nothing. How is it, though? Can you point to specific examples where Bono's form of charity and social justice has actually done more harm than good?
Yes, that's a great point to make. And Bono has, to either to his credit or however you want to see it, adjusted to the critiques that have been put from the 1980s and 1990s against sort of old school forms of aid that are just dumped onto Africa from Western nations. And Bono is quick to point out the corruptions that that leads to. So he's absorbed some critiques from Africa, from economists in Africa, and really, along with Jeffrey Sachs, promoted a more entrepreneurial model that's based on African entrepreneurship. The key theme throughout is that Bono is basically an icon of the ability of capitalism to absorb critique and to restructure itself in such a way that it continues to maintain its both external status as intervening from the outside in, and the ways in which multinational corporations are not in any way forced to revise their policy. So to give you a specific concrete example, one of the things that Bono has promoted in the name of good and the name of love is the Red Campaign, which brands products as red, as morally superior, in the sense that if you buy a red branded product, a portion of those proceeds, and it's kind of blurry how much, but go to causes in Africa, particularly for mosquito nets, for malaria, for example. And so there's a way in which this is a kind of missionary enterprise in a secular form. You don't have to be an evangelical. All you have to do is buy the product. But if you look at what happens on the ground, multinational corporations like mining companies in Africa, for example, would use the proceeds that are from red, are brought from red, that are primarily from consumers. And red, again, is marketed outside of Africa, but not inside Africa. Again, an example of the outside intervention. So those proceeds help corporations basically pay for healthcare services that should come, as some might say, should come from their profits or from the state. But instead, it's a way in which the goodness of American consumers, the desire to be good, and from Western European consumers is effectively a tax upon them to subsidize corporate profits. So what would be the alternative? The alternative would be that there's some public goods and social services that should be guaranteed, and that either come as taxes of corporations out of corporate profits or are guaranteed by the state. And Bono's model of economic change is through commerce without state interventions and those kinds, in a more social sense, and more to private corporations being the model, as we currently see in the ongoing pandemic, where corporations are sort of the engines of this social change.
So it seems as though Bono has basically put a pretty face on corporate domination, and has very much promoted this idea of charity over actual justice. But he might take offense to that because, as you said, they've also spurred on this entrepreneurship idea. Microloan financing is a really big idea among the do-gooders like Bono, and I imagine that he and others like him would say that they want people in poor nations to be self-sufficient and not become dependent on government welfare. But what about the critique of Bono from the countries where he actually, you know, claims to be doing good? Are there on-the-ground efforts that feel that celebrity charitable giving and celebrity, you know, interference, if you will, in their local economy is not something they want?
Yes, absolutely. There's been sort of long-standing resistance to the kind of models Bono has promoted with others like Jeffrey Sachs from within Africa. And Bono, again, has absorbed some of that critique and reframed it. But the most specific example to really see how this works is through one of the forms is through the One.org organization, and that one of the biggest funders of that is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And one of the key issues that One.org focuses on in Africa is agricultural reform. And if you look at how that works, what the goal of agricultural reform there is to sponsor entrepreneurship. They see Africa as sort of a blank slate economically, and that Africans have a desire to be entrepreneurial and move off of the land. But the major force of who is promoting that kind of reform is coming from huge multinational corporations, from Monsanto, which is now Bayer. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation owns stock, lots of stock within Monsanto. And so the vehicles of social change are coming from outside and not from inside Africa. And there's plenty of farmers, local farmers. Raj Patel, my colleague at UT Austin, has written about this along with other scholars, about how local farmers in Africa don't want Monsanto to dictate how they farm. And Monsanto at some point tried to bring local farmers in the conversation to come up with a plan that was more in their mind grassroots base from the ground. But the moment that those local farmers critique the big picture methods or modes that Monsanto, Bill Gates, Bono, Jeffrey Sachs were promoting in this agricultural reform is when Monsanto basically withdrew from the conversation and no longer wanted to talk to local farmers. Mm-hmm. So you can see the major tension is from external control, which has been the main theme from colonialism to the present. And now, rather than governments having external control over Africa in a sort of post-colonial world, it's multinational corporations wanting to maintain control over the resources of Africa.
In the name of doing good in those countries.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Does Bono benefit personally from this work that he's doing? You know, outside of the money he makes from his music, you mentioned in your book that his name comes up in the Paradise Papers, the leaked documents from the tax haven in Panama. So what is his, you know, financial dealing? And is it linked to this work that he does supposedly in the name of good?
Yeah, the short answer is like, it's difficult to tell. I mean, other than the Paradise Papers being leaked, it's hard if you're just an average person trying to figure out how these elites manage their money. I mean, he definitely has made a lot of money. Those around you two speak of them as uber capitalist. They're highly protective of their own intellectual property, which some would say that's how it should be. I think the main thing to keep in mind is it's sort of easy to mock or make fun of Bono as an icon who makes all this money and didn't pay his taxes in Ireland, and yet is calling on everyone to give money on behalf of these causes. There seems to be a contradiction there. But one of the things to keep in mind is that Bono, like Oprah, sees no contradiction in making money, lots of money. But it's a good in the sense of making lots of money is seen as if it's in the service of a higher calling, a transcendent purpose. And in this case, Bono's transcendent purpose is his causes that he champions in Africa. Then it's okay to make all that money. And it's not an old school philanthropy like Rockefeller, where you would just make a bunch of money and give it back. But it's more generating wealth, generating commerce. And that's sort of the tricky part about it, is that it does work. Entrepreneurship, these models do work. Capitalism does work. The only caveat, the major huge caveat, it doesn't work for everybody. So an entrepreneur who gets sick, as we see in this moment of pandemic, if there's not a social safety net, then they're not going to survive. Their business is not going to survive. And so if the bigger corporations or companies that have capital can survive crisis, they can consolidate through that crisis. And some entrepreneurs do make it, but on the whole, not everyone does. And so there's a kind of scarcity that plays into these evangelical models of spiritual or spiritual salvation and scarcity, that it's really, you have to earn it in the sense of economically, in the same way that you're responsible for your own salvation as an evangelical.
So Bono's version of evangelical Christianity sounds a lot like what we see in America, the kind of Christian right-wing base that believes Trump is their messiah, the prosperity gospel, where basically, you know, being a good Christian is about making as much money as you can. Or is that too reductive?
That's a place to start, in the sense that it gets at sort of the strangeness of this evangelicalism, because on the one hand, you're exactly right. The evangelicalism that Bono himself believes in is the same evangelicalism of Billy Graham. It's the same evangelicalism even of Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, who supports Trump. But on the other hand, Bono would say, you know, he's totally against Trump, that Trump is the Philistine in the sense of he's only in it for himself. He makes lots of money, fine, but he doesn't use that money for a higher purpose. So Bono's version of evangelicalism is closer to Barack Obama, or it's closer to the Democratic Party in the United States. So one of the perhaps ironies is that liberal progressives who are huge fans of U2 and will usher in the Democratic National Convention behind a U2 soundtrack are also sharing in economic terms the kind of evangelicalism that undergirds the religious right. So if you look and actually compare the economic practices of Trump versus Bono, they're quite similar, strikingly and sort of perhaps scarily, eerily similar. But on the surface, in terms of their progressive politics, they are totally different brands. So one of the things to keep in mind in terms of religion is that there's a kind of religious convergence underneath what appears to be separate economic brands. And I don't know if it's helpful, but you can think of it kind of in terms of the industrial food industry. Like if you walk down a cereal aisle in the grocery store, you get a multiplicity of brands and this plurality of difference. But within those cereal boxes, almost all of them have the same ingredients. So the underlying ingredient that both Bono shares with Trump, that shares with former President Obama, is this notion of free markets. Even though President Obama called for more regulation, he privatized public services like the public education system more than any president before him. So the key sort of signals of neoliberal policies are the privatization of public goods and services and a deregulation on a global sense of free markets.
I imagine that someone like Joe Biden would have a similar approach as Obama and many figures in the Democratic Party, the centrist wing of the Democratic Party.
Absolutely. And that's why Bernie Sanders' candidacy has been so compelling for many. And also, it was just difficult for him to get through the DNC because what he was saying was different economically. It was a kind of socialism. There is a strand of that within the U.S., but the two parties, Democrat and Republican, do differ greatly on social issues, but however, in terms of economic policy, aren't that far apart. And so a candidate like Joe Biden definitely offers something to the voters that is much different than Donald Trump. But in terms of global economic policy, it's not that far apart.
Right. So a figure like Bono might well support a Joe Biden without much contradiction. I want to thank you so much, Chad, for joining us today. Good luck with your book.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
My guest has been Professor Chad Seals. He is an associate professor of religious studies at the University of Texas at Austin. His earlier book was The Secular Spectacle, Performing Religion in a Southern Town. We've been talking about his latest book, Religion Around Bono, Evangelical Enchantment and Neoliberal Capitalism. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.